Welcome to Homeschool Companion, your source for information, motivation, and inspiration. If you're part of the homeschool community or simply interested in learning more about home-based education, stay tuned. Together, we'll examine the latest resources, learning styles, and teaching techniques. We'll speak with experts in the field to help you uncover every homeschool advantage. We'll also present suggestions on how to keep Christ in the curriculum as we explore fresh ways to teach and learn. Here's your Homeschool Companion host, author, educator, and children's ministry specialist, Dr. Rose Gamblin.
Welcome, welcome. I am here with Joshua Orsi. He has a wide variety of interests, political theory, ancient and modern history, art, aesthetics, and then specifically film and cinematography. And because we're doing this show on the emerging adult, those interests may all change with time. But we will keep coming back and touching base with him. Okay, so a few months ago, you had said that you really didn't see the point of college. And so now you've just announced that you're going to go to college, that you've been accepted. So what changed your mind?
All right, perhaps a few months ago, I was a bit outspoken or in some manner a bit passionate about college and my feelings therein or thereon. I would say, for one thing, my parents wouldn't not let me go to college. And also, as much as I conceptually would love to skip college and just go straight into the workforce and do incredible and awesome things, I do have a small, very small, realistic side. And I realize that, you know, I would like to get an education, to get a college degree. I could conceivably not. But would that be a good idea? I don't think so. So I'm going to go to college and I'm going to study something actually in broadcasting and communication and journalism. I have to narrow it down to one of those three or perhaps a mix. I definitely would like to do something with radio and television. And frankly, I probably would need some sort of education to do that.
Yeah, so you've mentioned about your writing and state again all the publications that you've submitted to.
Yes, I submitted one article, and I probably will submit another, to the Ludwig von Mises Institute based in Auburn, Alabama, a very, in my opinion, and to me, influential organization. And within 5 minutes of my submission, I got an email back from the editor-in-chief who said, "Wow, I really love this. Can you send me your bio? I'd like to publish this." I sent him my bio enthusiastically, and that was a couple of months ago, and I've never heard anything back. And no, they have not published it. However, I am actually the current events analyst for the online publication Clay Magazine. That's just it, Clay Magazine, nothing fancy. For the Potter School, which is affiliated with Bellhaven University. And I've written a few articles for them on the Charlottesville riots, the deficit, taxes, the recent tax reform proposal. And I just submitted my application to do an article on the recent and very unfortunate church shooting in Texas.
Mm. You know, I'm listening to you. You're, you know, so young, but yet so mature in so many respects. I can't imagine that someone in your life wasn't influential, and then at the other, and then the other point is maybe no one has influenced you as much as you yourself have influenced yourself.
Well, if I influenced myself, that would be bad, because I am nothing. And I was talking about this a bit earlier on, but I love opinion. I love a cosmopolitan mindset. I like to entertain ideas, all sorts of ideas, and yet I'd like to root them in bedrock principles. And what that means is I love to think, and my parents did encourage me to think. They've never been draconian or puritanic in their restrictions, although certainly they have very good and common sense restrictions on, say, what I watch or what I read, etc. But they've always encouraged me to think, and through thinking and thinking about a broad variety of subjects, I have developed an awareness of sorts, a very imperfect awareness, but at least I know enough to know that I know nothing. I think that's what Socrates said. I know enough to know I want more, to know more, if that makes mm-hmm. any sense. And therefore, I think a lot of this so-called maturity can be chalked up to, I realize I really don't know that much, but I do realize I want to know more.
That in itself is brilliant. You know, I look at our educational system in the United States, and it seems like we start out with the young kids just so excited about learning and just full of curiosity. And by the time they get even to the sixth, seventh, and eighth grade, it's been squelched. They hate the idea of it. So how did your education differ from that?
Well, my education was not perfect, and I have already come up with a number of ideas of how I will improve on my education for my own children. For one thing, I was homeschooled. I still am homeschooled, and I will be homeschooled until the ending of this school year, and at which time I will go to college next year, next early autumn, August. But my parents, specifically my mother, always wanted me to read, and I read a broad variety of books and great works of literature when I was not yet a teenager. My mom thought it would be a good idea that I start reading Homer's Iliad. I didn't really get anything I was reading. I thought it sounded reasonably cool at points. I also thought other points were incredibly boring. And now when I'm reading about the Iliad elsewhere, I'm thinking, I don't recall ever reading that stuff. My mom also insisted that I read the dictionary, and people sometimes say that I know a lot of words. Well, I don't know a lot of words. The dictionary knows those words, and I happen to read the dictionary. Really just look up words. Once I did try to read the dictionary, and I think I did not get past the second definition of Anne. It was a bit staid. But definitely reading, and reading a broad variety of materials, reading what we would consider mature or higher level books, though by no means anything inappropriate, but really discovering a broad awareness. And if I might continue on this point for a moment, a number of children today, in my unexposed opinion, they can go to libraries and they can read children's books. But the problem is today's children's books, they really have no deeper metaphysical message. They are merely designed to entertain. They're to stimulate the brain in its basest desires. There's no moral edification here. And as a result, we young children, who would be those, as you just said, most willing and most desirous of learning, they don't understand. They're not exposed to the fact that there is so much more. I can see just up behind me here, you have the Harvard Classics. I have not read most of them. I've hardly read any of them, if any at all. But I know they're there, and I want to read them. And I think we should expose to children at the youngest age possible these great works of literature, as we did in the past, and as when I was younger, my parents did with me.
That is phenomenal. And I think it bears to exactly where our education system needs to look at, and that is ways to let young people become masters of their own learning, just, you know, providing it and allowing that curiosity to blossom. So you're 17 and a half years old, and you are at that age, that emerging adult age, where, you know, one moment you want to stay a kid, and the next moment you're really looking forward to becoming a full-fledged adult. So what are some of the challenges, as you see them, that you're heading into?
Well, I've always been a bit of a homebody. I love to travel conceptually. I guess I would like to love to travel if I ever really got the chance to. But I always love to be home. I love to be with my family. I have that very conservative, shall we say, in the traditional sense, very conservative sense of loving my surroundings, loving where I am now. And to leave that, well, I don't know. I am rather disturbed about that, which is why the college I selected, Messiah College, as I said before, is actually under half an hour from where I live, so I will be able to go home at times. It'll be a sort of halfway house, and not to have any derogatory connections there between me and the real world. I would love to develop as I sort of said before, a more cosmopolitan sense of the world around me, to meet new people, to become a leader in my own right. Because, hey, when your school has two students, including yourself, that would be my sister and I, there's not that much chance to really get to know people or to become a great leader, to become very respected by those who are not related to me. And so it's really the fear of the unknown. It's the most primordial fear of humankind. Mm-hmm. And I'm plagued by it. I definitely am. And therefore, I want to view college as a sort of proving ground as I move out into the real world.
Mm-hmm. You know, I have to say my emotions that I feel as I'm talking to you is one of joy. And I don't know if you've ever been described that way, but I just feel joy as I listen to you, because you're so young, but yet you're so wise in some of the aspects of homeschooling in particular. It has that privilege of letting a child learn what they want to learn at the rate that they want to learn it. It has the protection of the family. And at the same time, yeah, you haven't been affirmed a lot by other people. But you will be, I can guarantee that. And probably you've noticed in the other associations, like have you been in a homeschool association? And so you have had experiences there that you can draw from and relate to, where, you know, you were admired or maybe not admired. Many times, don't you think that someone who is maybe intellectually above or have a high IQ or gifted in some way, don't you think that sometimes they take, I don't know if it would be persecution, but it's jealousy that comes into play from other people. How do you handle that?
Well, my mother tells me that when I was 10 years younger, there were some kids who were jealous of me. I don't really remember that at all, so I can't speak to that question that much. And beyond that, you know, my family's a military family, and so we move around a lot. I've moved about a dozen times. My parents have moved a lot more than that. And therefore, I don't often live around a bunch of kids, and therefore I cannot speak to that question. Mm-hmm. Because the last time I lived and was around and was exposed to kids on an almost daily basis was about 10 years ago.
Yeah.
And as a result, I don't feel as though I can answer that question entirely.
Well, we're going to take a break right here, but when we come back, I want to talk about technology and how that has influenced your life or is still in the process of influencing it. And also I want to give our listeners some strategies that they can use as they too emerge into adulthood. We'll be right back.
This is Raising Godly Girls with Patty Garibay of American Heritage Girls.
You are raising your girls to make wise decisions, but our culture doesn't make it easy. So many influences are bombarding your kids. The internet, social media, TV, music, movies, and advertisers, to name a few. Our culture strives to impact your girls' choices, values, and desires. You can't protect your girls from every media message, but you can diminish the influence of those messages. Talk with your girls about the messages they confront in our culture. Discuss the right and wrong choices in these messages, and train your kids to recognize the right choices based on the only source they can always trust, the Bible. Teach your girls to counter our culture's influence by making decisions grounded in God's Word.
To learn more about Raising Godly Girls, visit AmericanHeritageGirls.org.
Welcome back. I'm talking with Joshua Orsi, and he is 17 and a half years old. That's and wise beyond his age, too. He's been homeschooled his whole life and is now looking to be going to a college in a few months. And we are going to be doing a series. We're going to stop and check in with you every so often, because we want to see how that aspect of your life evolves from that adolescent mind thought to that adulthood. And thank you so much for spending this time with us, because you can't always get young people who've been homeschooled to come, and they hesitate to come for that very thing you talked about. Some of them just haven't been exposed to that wider form. And it's kind of daunting to think that, hey, I'm speaking, you know, to 25 million people. But thank you for coming. Okay, so I promised our listeners we'd talk about how technology, or if it has, played any role in your education.
Well, I can tell you this. The internet is arguably the greatest invention since the printing press. I'll just go ahead and say that. Why was the printing press a great invention? Because it allowed for the widespread dissemination of knowledge. It stimulated literacy. People could go to the library when libraries were invented and made public, and they could read on all manner of topics. However, books, well, there's a limitation to them, and libraries can only get so big, and we only have so much patience, and therefore someone along the line came up with the internet. And the internet, for me, well, it has definitely played a decisive or defining role. I grew up with the internet. I really don't remember life without the internet. I started using it about 5 years ago, so in earnest, I would say, about 5 years ago. And in that time, it has enabled me to access a great wealth of knowledge and subjects. And there are both pros and cons to that. The pros are I know a lot more than I would without the internet. I can look up, really to give you some context on this, I sometimes have different phases of what I want to know. So for a couple of weeks, about a few years ago, I was all about Leonardo da Vinci. I loved his inventions. I wanted to learn more about them. And so I could just look up Leonardo da Vinci, and in minutes, I could get all the information in the world that I wanted. Well, almost all the information. More recently, it's been the ancient Phoenicians, specifically the city of Tyre. I can look that up if I wanted. Really, you can look up whatever you want to. And as a result, the internet has provided me with a vast resource of knowledge that simply books can't compete. While there are certainly cons to the internet, you don't know if the information is peer-reviewed. You really have to guess on some of that to make an educated decision. Does this sound as if it were written by a middle schooler or by a PhD or somebody who's getting a PhD? And while certainly there are cons and downsides to that, I definitely think that the internet has played a defining role in broadening and in some ways deepening my knowledge base.
Now, do you have a website where you are providing, if not copies of your articles, snippets of it, or where people can go and learn more about you?
You mean a blog?
A website?
I'm very bad with technology. I guess I know. I guess I'm more competent than a lot of people, actually, but I've never considered myself particularly good. I don't know how to set up a website. I don't know anything about programming. So, no, although that certainly will change in the future. Mm-hmm. I would like to do a blog when I could think of something to write down on that blog and keep on going for more than a couple of paragraphs. But unfortunately, not at this moment.
And to me, you could just even start a blog about, you know, your journey going from being homeschooled into a college. That's fascinating. I can hardly wait till we get to the next segment on that. So how has faith, or do you think faith has influenced you in your personal journey?
I have been a Christian ever since I was 4 years old, and so it's kind of, and I was raised in a Christian home, or reasonably Christian home before then, because my parents only became Christians about the time I was born. Therefore, I cannot really tell you what my life was like without God or without some aspect of faith, but I'm pretty sure it would be different. I'm not a perfect person. I do a lot of wrong things, just like most people, or rather all people, but faith definitely plays a major role in my life in that it encourages me to think, because I know what I believe, I know what the Bible says is true, and therefore I want to learn more about that. I want to study, well, what did the Bible mean to those to whom it was written? How could Hebrew terms or Greek terms or Aramaic terms be translated or understood differently back then than now? Because there are changes in translation. There are changes in language that we have to take into account. And frankly, my faith has definitely influenced, strongly influenced my desire to learn and what I think of the world and what my conception of art and beauty and aesthetics are. I definitely would say it has had a defining role.
So we're almost to the end of this show. What words of advice would you give to that listener that's in the same place you are? They're finishing out their high school year and now they need to make a decision. How does it help? What were the tools that you used to make your decision?
If I could give some advice to anyone listening to this show, it would be think. Because a lot of people have told me that, oh, Joshua, you're smart, you know so much, blah, 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 stuff like that. But in reality, it's just because I happen to stop and think about it. Let me give you an example, and I really love this example. A couple of months ago, I was attending a boys' camp called American Legion Keystone Boys State for the state of Pennsylvania. It's a government camp. And the last night we were there, we were reading an excerpt on the Iraqi war. And somehow the topic of, well, the boys going over there and fighting and dying are just about your age or a little older. And I happened to make this quasi-monologue about the meaning of life and how deep and complex our lives are and how just imagine what you know about your life and what you don't know about your life and now just magnify that out thousands and even millions of times and stuff like that. And by the time I was done, everyone was looking at me in some sort of disbelief and shock. And the mayor of our city, basically the leader of our group, the kid leader of our group, said, if ever Joshua says anything again, everyone needs to listen, because that was incredible. That's pretty much what he said. And as I was talking to people afterward, as we were walking back to our dorm, people were asking me, wow, Joshua, why didn't you run for any offices? That was so amazing what you were talking about. And I said, really, it wasn't that amazing. It's just that I think about it. If you just stop and think about things we all take for granted, you will be stunned at how much more you can learn. And guess what? You'll sound really smart. You'll sound a lot smarter than you are. And it definitely improves your mental capacity. It gives life new layers of richness and depth, if I may be so melodramatic as to say so. It definitely, just think about things you take for granted. Think about the fundamentals of our social order. Think about what is right, what is wrong. I know, boring philosophical stuff, but seriously, think about it. That, and it will definitely affect your life.
Well, Joshua, thank you so much for being with us, and we've come to the end of our show. I have one last thing to say, and that is God bless.
You have been listening to Homeschool Companion, a production of MRG Media. Be sure to join us on Facebook. Just type in the name Homeschool Companion. For more on this or to contact us, go to mrgmediaministries.com. That's all one word, mrgmediaministries.com.